This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush does not have the power to detain American citizen Jose Padilla, the former gang member seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant, a federal appeals court ruled Thursday. The decision, which ordered that Padilla be released from military custody within 30 days, could force the government to try the dirty bomb plot suspect in civilian courts. The White House said the government would seek a stay, saying the ruling was inconsistent with the president's constitutional authority as well as with other court rulings. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. The website truthout.org reports that Nelson, a Florida Democrat, said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote, authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. The State Department issued a warning Wednesday recommending that non-essential American diplomats and the families of all U.S. officials in Saudi Arabia leave the country. The department also recommended that private U.S. citizens consider leaving as well. Americans making plans to go to Saudi Arabia were advised to defer any such travel in light of the potential for further terrorist activities. Security was tight Thursday in the Saudi capital of Riyadh, with a heavy police presence throughout much of the city. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Modern-day aviators failed on Wednesday to duplicate the pioneering flight of the Wright brothers as a replica of their primitive 1903 flying machine flopped in the mud at the site of the original flight. An exact copy of the Wright Flyer trundled down a wooden rail, but failed to generate the speed and lift necessary to fly. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? so silly that the IRS has given the SynFuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called SynFuels actually worked. Yet, even this long overdue step was assailed by SynFuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier and the rich keep getting richer.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
This time we'll say bye to the music. Say bye to the song we can sing. This time we'll say bye to the music.
Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Did that first part come through? It didn't? Okay, let me start all over again. No, no, cut the music. Watch out, I'm going to start saying the F word again, right? Screaming about it. Yeah. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here is 800-TALK-YES, and you can join us via, you can send an email if you like during the program, MikeDMalloy@earthlink.net. We got some Simple Scotty tonight, and we're going to play a game that we normally, that we frequently play with Simple Scotty McClellan, the White House press secretary, and that is Guess the Word of the Day. Time permitting, we will get to that. Kathy has typed on the screen here, don't miss our holiday show next Tuesday, the winter solstice. You're not going to do anything for Christmas?
No, just
the holiday show. So we're doing both. Okay. And we're going to have a surprise gift for a lucky listener. We are?
Yeah.
We're going to. Okay. Plus holiday fun and a year in review. Holiday fun? This is a radio program.
This is all a surprise. This is called a tease. In the radio business, this is called a tease. So they'll tune in.
And she's also got here, plus we'll have a very special announcement at the end of the show. So don't miss it. What, that we're not on the air anymore?
No,
it's not that? Okay. So a special announcement. This is our holiday show next Tuesday, which is also the winter solstice. I have established, I guess it's a tradition, since I have been in radio every Christmas. Well, in Advent, really, it's not Christmas because we're not on the air. But I read the story of the journey of Joseph and Mary to and the birth of Christ as recorded in Luke. And a lot of people say, well, you don't believe that.
You don't believe in the divinity. You don't, you're not a religious person. I am not a religious person, but I happen to appreciate mythologies that are so profound as the Christian, the story of the birth of Christ. So we do that. Plus, excuse me?
I said, plus Jesus was a cool guy.
Jesus was a cool guy.
Even if you don't believe he was divine, he was still a wonderful philosopher.
Well, that's very true. And the winter solstice thing, of course, is in respect for possibly the only really critically important religious belief system in the history of humankind, and that is the belief system that says we are here, we should respect where we are, and treat it with care, because we're not going to be here long, and then we die. You know, and I'm talking about Druidism or Celtic faith or what have you. So we combine the two and do that. A very special announcement at the end of the show on Tuesday. Not related to our leaving this network. Okay. I think I know what it is. All right, a couple of quick items here, and then to some unbelievable stuff on your program, Malloy. I got a very interesting email from somebody today. excuse me. He's got three websites, apparently, but he signs himself Micro Mike, as in microscopic Micro Mike. And it says, "Dear Mike, thank you for your program. I consider myself conservative, although I've never been a member of the Republican tribe, and I think they have taken the name of conservative and raped it like everything else they've touched. I try to listen to different viewpoints, and I've actually met Rush several times and sponsored one of his trips to Texas back in the old days. But the right-wing side of things is saying very little new today, and the tone is so harsh I can't stand to listen to them. And although you say you hate them several times a show, I don't feel that vile
doing
hate.
Talk radio right."
What was that? We got a ghost in the machine here? Okay. Let me back up. "I've met Rush several times and sponsored one of his trips to Texas in the old days, but the right-wing side of things is saying very little new today, and the tone is so harsh I can't stand to listen to them. And although you say you hate them several times a show, I don't feel that vile hatred that spews from the mouths of those that cannot see a viewpoint different from their own. So thanks for your show, and keep up the good work. Your friend, Micro Mike." Conservative, huh? All right. I've said on this program, what, 10,943 times, true conservatism, bring it on. Because the tension, the playing between conservatism and liberalism is actually what made this country great at one time. Of course, thank God liberalism usually won. It's always been liberalism that has been progressive, but conservatism had its role, a minor role, and a role you have to watch conservatives because they're very cautious and kind of fearful, whereas liberals are bold and willing to take a chance, and if it doesn't work, then they'll back up and try again. Our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, sent this to me. "I do not read the Drudge Report. Occasionally somebody will say, oh, man, you got to see what's at the Drudge Report, and I'll go take a look. But I frankly hate the guy. You know, he just turns my stomach. Everything about Matt Drudge and everything that he does and the people he hangs out with. Figuratively speaking and literally speaking, the guy just turns my stomach. But occasionally somebody will say, man, you got to go check this out. So our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota, said, hey, you got to go check this out. Here's what happened yesterday, Wednesday, on the Drudge Report. He had what he calls his book year-ender, where he lists the top 20 books of the year, whatever. And he has some copy with it, and he says, O'Reilly trails Franken in scanned sales. You know, that's looking Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Borders, Costco, other outlets. So it says, Fox News' top-rated host Bill O'Reilly recently claimed that he is, quote, running against Hillary for most copies of nonfiction books sold this year, end quote. But numbers obtained by the Drudge Report show a dramatically different sales scene for 2003. Nielsen, the same company that ranks O'Reilly number one on Fox News, currently places O'Reilly at number six for the year on the nonfiction charts, trailing rival Al Franken by nearly 30%. O'Reilly ranks 63rd on USA Today's 2003 sales chart. O'Reilly claimed Monday on NBC's Today Show, quote, "We've outsold that guy," referring to Franken, "all over the place. We're running against Hillary for most copies of nonfiction books sold this year," end quote. Well, here's the truth, according to Drudge, and he posts the numbers. Living History by Hillary Clinton has sold 1,084,520 copies. Lies and the Lying Liars Who Tell Them by Al Franken has sold 674,024 copies. And down here at the bottom, Who's Looking Out for You? O'Reilly has sold 430,407, which is about a third of what Hillary has sold, and as Drudge points out, 30% less than what Franken has sold. Now, who gives a damn? Well, you know, I don't. Frankly, I couldn't care less. But to these people, this is really important stuff. But O'Reilly is a liar. O'Reilly is like everybody on the right, especially in media. They are liars. They are disgusting liars. Okay. So after Drudge published that yesterday, guess what happened? Well, if you are familiar with O'Reilly, you probably guess. You can guess. Here's the Drudge Report for today. Host unhinged after sales figures revealed, calls Drudge threat to democracy. And then the article on Drudge says, talk author Bill O'Reilly lashed out against this space during his popular Fox News O'Reilly Factor Wednesday night, just hours after closely guarded book sales figures were splashed over the Internet. Sales figures show how, contrary to his claims, O'Reilly lags far behind rivals Al Franken and Senator Hillary Clinton for nonfiction props. Responding to an exclusive year-end Drudge dispatch, which presented Nielsen's top 20 book scan list of 2003 sales, O'Reilly called the Drudge Report a threat to democracy. O'Reilly looked into the cameras and said, I mean, you can't believe a word Matt Drudge says. Now you've got the Matt Drudges of the world and these other people, Michael Moore and all these crazies. All right, no responsibility. That's a threat to democracy, I think. They'll just spin it and twist it and take it out of proportion every which way. End quote. Last year, the host of cable TV's most watched newscast became unbuckled and turned unstable after this space first revealed how O'Reilly was plotting a new radio program to air opposite Rush Limbaugh, who had just lost his hearing, and how WORAM in New York would receive cash compensation from Viacom just to carry O'Reilly's program. O'Reilly charged on the Imus in the Morning radio show, there is no other cure than to kill Matt Drudge. He went on to say, I just want to tell everybody that Matt Drudge is smoking crack right now in South Miami Beach on Washington Avenue, and the authorities should know it. Boys, my senior correspondent wrote. What did he write? Please, keep it up. O'Reilly, you know what's going to happen to O'Reilly? You know how all of these right-wingers, the real self-referential, ego-saturated right-wingers, how they wind up like Bennett, a gambling junkie, or Limbaugh, an illegal street drug junkie, or whatever, child molesters, one of America's favorite newscasters, who's been around since God was a teenager, caught having sex with a horse. Now, either you know that story or you don't. I'm not going to tell you the name because I don't want to get sued. You know what's going to happen with O'Reilly? I don't either. But it's going to be something really, really bad. Maybe they're going to catch O'Reilly, I don't know, doing what? What could it be? I don't know. I don't know. But it's going to be something. You know? I don't want to sing it all.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
Show. Joining us now is Jason Campbell with the Christian Action Network.
Well, since 1991, the gay movement has gone down to Disney to do these gay days. You've had events where you've had Mickey Mouse with Goofy in sexual positions.
Ah! Homosexual movies are shown on the Disney transportation systems. And what kind of movies, for God's sake, do they show on these buses?
Triple X.
Oh, you're kidding.
If a child's riding beside one of the buses and looks up and says, Daddy, what is that on the television monitor?
Right.
It's going to be an embarrassing moment.
Oh, it'll be worse than embarrassing. The child will be scarred for life.
Right. That's what the homosexuals want.
Well, I know. They're after the kids. Now, the only thing I'm afraid of is somebody just tuned in the program and never heard the program before and just went, oh, Jesus, this guy is really a right-wing freak.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. We're going to get to this next break. I think last night we brought this up, touched on it. Didn't go into it very deeply, but certainly got it out there that Thomas Keene, the former Republican governor of New Jersey, is now pointing fingers inside the Bush administration and laying blame for what happened on this in this country on September 11th. CBS News correspondent Randall Pinkston reported that the events of 9/11 could have been prevented and should have been prevented. And, you know, the report is due when? March or something? I mean, this is possibly the most important news of what? The decade? The century? Well, the century. The century is only 3 years old, right? The most important news of this century. And I got an email from Mike in Orlando, headlined, Uneffing Believable. He references what we talked about last night about a former Republican Governor Thomas Keene saying what he said. And then Mike in Orlando says he saw it on the Smirking Chimp. And as soon as he saw it, he turned on television to scan for this amazing report. What did he find? On Fox, Michael Jackson. MSNBC, Michael Jackson. CNN, Michael Jackson. CNN headline news, not Michael Jackson, but the sentencing of the Green River Killer, 25 years after he started slaughtering people. And Mike then writes, and just for comparison, I checked E! News, Entertainment Network, and of course, Michael Jackson, where it should be, not on actual news networks. I had the same experience, the same clammy, mind-bending experience today. Turned on television about, what I don't know what time, Kathy, 11:30 this morning. Just scanning through. Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. Jesus, they're interrupting their regular newscast to go to this freak out here, this prosecutor. Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson. What the hell has happened in this country? Yesterday, the head of the 911 Commission said the mass murder on our soil could have been prevented and should have been. And starts laying blame where it belongs with this corrupt, filthy administration that runs this country. And today, Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Some of you people wonder why, not many of you, but some of you who just found the program, or some of you right-wingers who lurk around the program, you know, Jesus Christ, he gets hard on media. My God, he just freaks. He goes out of his mind. This is why. This is why 58% of the American public supports this jackass in the White House. This is why so many people believe Saddam Hussein sent bombers to this country on September 11th, 2001. Because we have this messed up media. Because we have this garbage dumped. Now, and the people who are watching the Michael Jackson stuff, and then they switch off, and what do they tune to? Radio. And what do they hear? This pig, Rush Limbaugh, and the piglet, Sean Hannity. The baby Jesus, excuse me. Going on and on and on with the lies and the distortions and the garbage. And they go, well, yeah, that's really true. God bless George Bush. Now, let me go back to television quick. What's going on? Oh, Michael Jackson. Oh, Jesus, my... And it's back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And what happens? At 9 o'clock Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, we get together around this tacky-ass little radio campfire. Or your internet, you and me. We talk about this stuff. So Mike in Orlando, yeah, I share your shock and outrage and disgust and contempt and fear and anger. Michael Jackson, my ass! Who cares about Michael Jackson? How about Thomas Keene, who said, quote, this is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right!
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy, the general manager of the IE America Radio Network, wishing you and yours a safe and happy holiday.
Is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services that aren't being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Wackernagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Based on everything I've seen, I do not believe anyone could have prevented the horror of September the 11th.
Well, when we find out otherwise, Mr. Dictator, I hope to... I hope the American people will celebrate the fact when you go to prison. How long has it been since we've locked up a former... have we ever done that? I guess we'd have to go back to, what, the 19th century? I can't remember if we have ever locked up a former or a sitting president. Bush deserves to be in jail after a trial. But anyway, we'll get to that. We'll get back to that. We're coming back to that particular situation here. Michael Jackson all over the place today, while the chairman of the 911 Commission drops a bomb. And what does the media do? They run report Michael Jackson. Oh, my God. Zachary is calling from San Diego. Hey, Zachary.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, pal?
Well, I guess you kind of changed subjects there, but you were talking about O'Reilly earlier.
Yeah, you can go back to it. That's cool.
Yeah, but are you really honest that you don't know what he'd be busted for?
Who?
O'Reilly.
What he would be busted for?
Well, you were talking about you were like asking, what is he possibly going to be busted for, and You know, like,
what's going to be his downfall? Yeah. Like Limbaugh's was drugs. Yeah,
because I heard you like even say it on the show. He's going to be child molestation, of course.
Okay, child molestation. That's probably it. He looks like a defrocked Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Who has been thrown out of the church for molesting children? That's exactly what. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Yeah, molesting children. Yeah.
Yeah, and also, you know how secretive he is about his personal life.
Yeah.
I saw him on the Howard Stern TV show and. He wouldn't even say he had a wife. But he did say he did have a wife eventually. But he didn't even say her age, and he didn't say her name or how many children he actually has, because it's really hard to find any kind of evidence about it if he even has a family.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have I mentioned tonight yet how much I hate these people?
No, I don't think
I haven't?
So.
Okay, well, I just did at 36 past the hour, how much I just thoroughly despise these scum-sucking right-wingers. But anyway, is that what you called about?
Yeah.
No, okay.
And
how you doing? Yeah, go ahead.
Also, you sometimes refer to the show. You called it a campfire, a tacky campfire show.
A what earlier? Now?
You just called the show
my show?
Yeah, you said the media gets all this attention, Michael Jackson gets all this attention,
right,
and we
get
to come around every night to a tacky little radio campfire.
Yeah, a tacky little radio campfire, and we sit here, you and me, and 37 other people.
Yeah, and you have to have some special means to listen to you. But
right.
I'm really happy that San Diego now, where I live, we have a pirate radio station.
Yeah?
And they kind of sprung up around during the last 10 years due to the little low-power FM thing on the FCC.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, and speaking of the FCC, did you know that 3 months ago they okayed the use of the F word and the S word?
Yes, I did.
On TV, yeah.
Yeah, that's thanks to your good friend Bono.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyway...
You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's a little reward ceremony. But anyway, I was wondering, I wonder if there's any way to get your show on like that pirate radio station that they ever offered.
If they figure out a way to do it, they can take it tonight.
Yeah, it's just
they have my permission. Take it. Take it.
It's just that they had to cut out the ads because they have a real strict policy. No advertisement.
Just bleep it when we do the ads.
Just
take this part of it. I mean,
or I can go to Right Wheel Society and just cut out the ads.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. It's on the internet. Just go get it. It'll be a day or two late.
I'll try to submit it to them.
I'll tell you what else you can do too. Go to radiopower.org. Tell them to check out Shelby LaPray's site, radiopower.org.
I used to go there before I found the IE America stream.
Yeah. Yeah. No, anybody figures out a way to glom up this program and stick it any place, take it.
All right.
Go for it.
I'll try to do that.
Go for it. All right. How's school?
Pretty good.
All right. You doing all right?
Doing work right now, yeah.
All right, Zachary.
All right.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you.
All right. You have a nice evening. Robert, our L.A. correspondent, is checking in. Hey, Robert. Getting all these West Coast calls out of the way first here. Hey, Robert.
How many? Like,
yeah.
How many of these right-wingers? How many of them? How many of them have lust
in their heart
for a big, beautiful black flesh just like Strong Thurmond? How many?
It goes on and on. You got to go all the way back to Thomas Jefferson. It never stops. Now, you know, we talked about this the other night. If Strom would have been black and this maid would have been white, they would have lynched him.
Mm-hmm.
They were lynched in 1925. This 22-year-old racist punk rapes his family's 16-year-old maid, and out of it comes this beautiful woman who came out, a 78-year-old woman who came out on television. She broke my heart. When I listened to her, I damn near just cried. I just sat there. Here's a woman whose own father would not publicly acknowledge her, who kept her mouth shut so as not to, what, upset this racist bastard's political career.
Exactly.
That's love of a child for a parent. I couldn't do that. I would have cut the old man's throat at that
domain. Once again, this mic shows about the complete hypocrisy of these right-wingers, you know, and I'm sure they have not mentioned this on Fox News or any of these other right-wing outlets.
Oh, no, nobody's talking about this story. Don't talk about this. This is Strom, by God, Thurmond. He did what to a what? When?
Oh, but we don't want to disturb him in his grave.
Yeah,
oh, my God. I'm not surprised. It should be no surprise, you know, but it's just, you know, but I just really think, you know, how like, people like Ann Coulter, this, the way she talks, do you really think that she really sits in her bedroom with those scrawny little legs up? Excuse the details here, but think about a big slut.
You never know what lurks in the hearts of men, Robert, or women for that matter. The thing that offends me about this is that my experience has been over a good chunk of my life that when there is a story or a rumor in the black community that upsets white people, usually the story or the rumor is correct. The white folks in their position of power will try to suppress the story and say, well, there's no confirmation. Well, that's just folk stuff. That's just talk up in the quarters tonight. You understand what I'm saying?
And it
always turns out to be true. Look what the descendants of Sally Hemings had to do. What did they work for 200 years to get acknowledged? And now you have this 78-year-old retired school teacher come out and say, well, I've got to tell the story.
I was reading her editorial in the L.A. Times, and it's really sad, you know, just reading this and just like, you know, she doesn't want any type of beef. She doesn't want any type of recognition because sooner or later it was going to come out anyway, you know, and it's just really ridiculous to me.
It's such a tragic but so typically American story. How many so-called black families in this country have the same story to tell?
Exactly. Oh, listen, Merry Christmas to you. If I don't talk to you, my birthday is the day before.
The 24th?
Yes.
Well, happy birthday.
Whatever.
Happy birthday, Robert.
Yeah, thank you. You take care.
All right.
Have a good holiday.
Thank you, sir. You too. That Strom Thurmond story, yeah, it still just ricochets around inside of my head. It's just, you know, it brings up a theme that has stuck with me for about 40 years once I started to figure out what the truth was. And I'm sorry, if you're white, I don't mean to offend you now at all, but there's something, if you're white, you have to understand that there is a generation of black folk out here. Let's say the generation that's over 45, maybe over 50, who understands white people better than we understand ourselves. Trust me on this, trust me on this, trust me on this, okay? And I'm talking in general terms. I'm not talking individuals. I'm talking in general terms. This older generation of black Americans understands white Americans better than we understand ourselves. We don't know anything about black Americans. And they know everything about us. Now, how can you say that, Mr. Mike? Okay, let me tell you why. Because that generation of black Americans, they cleaned our houses and they cooked our food. They took care of our babies and they took care of our old folks. They changed our nappies and they cleaned up the vomit when Granny and Grandpa were dying, right? And they shuffled off that number 7 bus and walked up the hill, right? Every day to come out here and work in your house and my house and the other white folks' house. And they know and they saw and they understood and they absorbed. And then at 5 o'clock, they'd shuffle back down that hill. These old black women, these middle-aged black women with the shopping bags standing down there, their stockings sagging down around their ankles, waiting for that number 7 bus, getting dark out. Standing there in the rain, standing in the snow, standing in the heat. Got to get home and take care of their family. The black folk been doing that in this country for 400 years. And for those of us who are alive right now, whites and blacks, I'm telling you the truth, white people. I'm telling you the truth, my sisters and my brothers. Older black Americans understand us better than we'll understand, than we understand ourselves. Now, you want to even the score? Okay, I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell you what we'll do. We don't have to do 400 years. Let's just do 2 or 3 generations. There's a very strong black middle class out here now. So let's us poor whites get on that number 7 bus tomorrow morning, okay? And go to that nice middle class, upper middle class black suburban community, and get off that bus, and you and I, let's us shuffle up the hill.
lets us go in there and cook their dinners and mow their lawns and clean their babies' dirty nappies and take care of their dying old folks and clean up the vomit and the dog poop and take care of them. And then it's 5 o'clock. Let's shuffle back down the hall and get on the bus and go home and take care of our white children and our white husbands and wives. Now, let's do that for two generations, and then maybe we'll understand black people. Don't talk to me about Halle Berry. Don't talk to me about Sammy Davis Jr. Don't talk to me about Ice Cube. White people don't understand black folk at all. And they know us like they know the back of their own hands. This 78-year-old retired school teacher who stood up there in front of the media the other day and said, I have got to say it, Strom Thurmond was my father. She knows. When she was 22 years old, her father was standing in the state capitol in South Carolina saying that the niggers would never come into his house. No power on earth. And she had to stand there somewhere and listen to her father talking like that. I don't want to insult you if you're white. I don't want to talk down your experience of black folk. But I'm here to tell you, my white brother and my white sister, you and I have no clue about black Americans. And they understand us as well as they understand themselves. Now, I said back when the USA Patriot Act, back when the attack on this country, I said, you know, a lot of white people are really upset tonight, don't know what to do, running around just feeling real full of anxiety and fear and scared. And I said, if you don't have a black friend, get one and talk to her, talk to him. Because they've been living with this stuff for 400 years. They know how to handle this. They have been stopped. They have been lynched. They have been burned alive. They have been driven out. They have been taken away from. They have been denied for 400 years. So you're feeling nervous and scared like, damn, what are they going to do? They can come into my house? Ooh. Talk to a black person if you're white, and they will help you understand how to deal with that. Right? But the whole story about Strom Thurmond's daughter and what she dealt with for 78 years. You know, her mother died. I believe the news report said that the mother in this, she was 16 when she was raped by Strom Thurmond. She died when she was 32, 33, 34, somewhere around there. You can imagine she probably died because she couldn't get good medical care, had that high blood, maybe had diabetes. Couldn't get good medical care because she was a Negro. And it was what? The 40s, the 50s, the 30s, whenever the hell it was. Couldn't even get into a hospital here in the South. And there stood that 78-year-old black woman the other day. She's not black. She's an American. But there she stood. Mixed race. Is that what they call it? Mixed race. Yeah, okay. Talking about how she finally had to make the statement and to claim her father, even though her nasty-ass father, no offense, ma'am, would never claim her. Wouldn't allow her to be publicly acknowledged as his child. That's cold. That's cold. That's ice. So we ready to start, white folks? Yeah! Let's get out there tomorrow. Get on that bus. Maybe get that transfer. Go up to the big house on the hill. Up there where that black doctor, that black lawyer lives. Sweep those floors. Make those beds. Take home those clothes that Black Master doesn't need anymore. Take home to your children. And maybe if you're lucky, When you come to work on Monday, there'll be some leftover chicken and biscuits from Sunday that you can take home and feed your chillin'.
Let's see. There I was sitting around the leader with the table with foreign leaders, looking at Colin Powell and Condi Rice. Yeah.
Lives at stake. So now we've all discovered the world wasn't only made for whites. What step are you gonna take to try and set things right in this stolen land?
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a
more tissues.
Sleep like a
cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that!
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long-itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glasters, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, I'm Marianne Williams. I hope that you'll listen to me here at IE America Radio Network every Monday through Friday afternoon. I'm talking about how we can change the world from the inside out. How do the principles that apply to us spiritually and psychologically also apply to us collectively? How we act not only as individuals, but as a nation. Join me. Let's transform ourselves and let's transform our world. And let's do it now.
The Marianne Williamson Show, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
That's why I'm marching, yes, I'm marching, marching down freedom's road. Ain't nobody gonna stop me, nobody gonna keep me from marching down freedom's road.
Do you believe in truth? Are you tired of right-wing rhetoric? Here's Mike Malloy.
There's room in this land for
about 4:30 before the hour. Now, regarding Governor Thomas Keene's story, he's already backtracking. I mean, this guy is backpedaling like somebody got the word to him, right? You know how it works in the United States of America, in Bush country. You want to open your mail and find some anthrax? Huh, Governor Keene? In an interview to be aired on Nightline tonight, he apparently backs way away from his statements the other day and says, no, there's no there, not in the Bush administration, not in the Clinton administration, nothing. No, who said that? Did I say something? Didn't mean it. Just kidding. Don't you wonder who got to him? Of course you do. David is calling from San Francisco. Hey, David.
Yeah, hey, Mike, have you seen the, there are some dollar bills that float around at many of the peace demonstrations. They're called deception dollars. Have you seen some of them?
I have not.
If you were to go to deceptiondollars.com, you'll find a pretty good website. And they're really a nice print job. I think they're up to the 8th edition now.
Uh-huh.
They've got, they look real similar to a U.S. currency bill. And they've got a picture of Bush in the center, you know, with this funny little scowl. And there are about 21 different websites on it people who have done investigations into 911.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny, actually, as you're talking about the backpedaling of Governor Keene, I remember right after he was the replacement for Henry Kissinger.
Right.
And so, of course, when Kissinger didn't want to disclose all of his assets as a governmental employee, he's supposed to disclose all of his potential conflicts of interest.
Mm-hmm.
And so Governor Keene had to disclose that he was actually in business on an oil pipeline with bin Laden's brother-in-law.
Right.
So, right. You know, it's like Bush thought that he was going to be able to get a trustable guy, you know, to cover his investigation for him, to cover for Kissinger. And this is who the American taxpayers get. So, you know, obviously, the reason I raised this deception dollar, there are about 21 different websites on there. And if you go to that website, you'll be able to link to a lot of different pretty interesting analyses of what happened on September 11th.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, personally, my take on it is that there was...
Hey, let me put you on hold, David, because we have a break here. We'll come back and finish this up right after the top of the hour. And your phone call, too, after David. So stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
My
fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy.
And you hate me?
Ooh,
you
why
hate me?
Why not put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. George W. Bush does not have the power to detain American citizen Jose Padilla, the former gang member seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant, a federal appeals court ruled Thursday. The decision, which ordered that Padilla be released from military custody within 30 days, could force the government to try the dirty bomb plot suspect in civilian courts. The White House said the government would seek a stay, saying the ruling was inconsistent with the president's constitutional authority as well as with other court rulings. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. The website truthout.org reports that Nelson, a Florida Democrat, said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote, authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. The State Department issued a warning Wednesday recommending that non-essential American diplomats and the families of all U.S. officials in Saudi Arabia leave the country. The department also recommended that private U.S. citizens consider leaving as well. Americans making plans to go to Saudi Arabia were advised to defer any such travel in light of the potential for further terrorist activities. Security was tight Thursday in the Saudi capital of Riyadh, with a heavy police presence throughout much of the city. More IE America Network news after
Hello,
this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
A steer that fled a Detroit slaughterhouse 2 weeks ago will get the chance to live out his days on a Michigan farm. After negotiations, the slaughterhouse's owner and representatives of an animal sanctuary reached the agreement Monday that will spare the steer's life. Under federal rules, the steer could have been legally slaughtered Wednesday. Instead, the slaughterhouse will donate the animal to the sanctuary. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break, even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? So silly that the IRS has given the Synfuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called Synfuels actually worked. Yet, even this long-overdue step was assailed by Synfuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier, and the rich keep getting richer.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ji la.
You know everything.
Xie xie.
I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back. 7:30 past the hour. Right now we are talking about, first of all, the statement made by former New Jersey Republican Governor Thomas Keene the other day. He is the head of the 911 commission that Bush fought tooth and nail to not have come into existence. And the Bush crime family that has resisted every step of the way from turning over documents that this investigative committee needs in order to get to the bottom of this, which they never will, because if they get to the bottom of it, it will shake the very foundations of this republic. George Bush and his entire administration will be impeached and probably jailed. And Karl Rove is not going to let that happen. But yesterday, the chairman told CBS News, Thomas Keene told CBS News that 911 could have been and should have been prevented. He said, quote, this is a very, very important part of history and we've got to tell it right. He went on to say, quote, as you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done. This was not something that had to happen, end quote. He went on to say, there are people that, if I was doing the job, would certainly not be in the position they were in at that time because they failed. They simply failed, end quote. Now, there were other things that he said. And we talked about it last night. Was it last night? I guess it was last night. And what started this discussion tonight, Mike in Orlando sent me an email about, you know, he heard about this. Apparently he didn't hear it on this program, but he heard about it. He went to Smirking Chimp, which is a good website. And he said as soon as he read it, he turned to television to scan for this report, see what was going on. What did he find? On Fox, Michael Jackson, MSNBC, Michael Jackson, CNN, Michael Jackson, CNN Headline News, The Green River Killer, 25 years too late to matter to the people this thug and punk and murderer slaughtered. And then Mike went to E! News Entertainment Network, and of course, Michael Jackson. And as Mike in Orlando points out, that's where it should be, on E! News, not on actual news networks. And I had the same experience. Michael Jackson, all day today. Michael Jackson indicted for child, whatever the hell it is, child molestation? I don't even know. I do know what I saw today. I saw this dude, I guess he's the prosecutor out there with the little mustache and the glasses, this guy who is all of a sudden, I don't know, he must think he's Keanu Reeves or somebody, just commanding this attention. If Michael Jackson molested a child, okay, let the law deal with it. Why are the networks? Why is CNN and MSNBC and Fox and CNN Headline News? Jesus, God in heaven, we have a former governor of one of the 50 states saying, look, let me tell you what we found so far. Is anybody listening? But now, he's retracting it. Now he's saying, no, 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 didn't say it. No, 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 no. So what happened in the past 24 hours? Did he get the phone call from Karl Rove? Did he get a visit from somebody on a CIA assassination squad or a Justice Department hit team? What happened to former Republican Governor Keene, who all of a sudden says, no, 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 no. I didn't say any of that stuff. Didn't mean it. They took it out of context. There's no evidence of nothing. Not here, not there, not over there, not down there, not up there. No, 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 nuts. No, not. Bite my tongue. No. If you heard me say something, the former Republican governor, Thomas Keene of New Jersey, if you heard me say something the other day, you must have been hallucinating. I said nothing. I'm saying nothing now. Oh, I am saying something now. George Bush had nothing to do with it. George Bush. No, 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 no. What do you suppose got to him, truth seeker? What do you suppose got to him? So that's what we're talking about. And before I started going semi-hysterical there, we were talking with David in San Francisco. Go ahead, David. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, hey, Mike. I'm glad you brought it back to Michael Jackson because, frankly, a lot of people don't realize it, but the Michael Jackson story started to emerge the day after Arnold was sworn in.
Yeah.
We noticed that right away. All of these scandals that we were, of course, Arnold had a lot of different campaign promises that he was supposed to keep. And by God, Michael Jackson all of a sudden washes Arnold off the front pages.
Have I mentioned tonight how much I hate the media in this country?
Well, I was actually working with the DA's race out here in San Francisco, and I asked him whether he thought that the DA out there in Santa Barbara would have done such a thing, and he wasn't surprised to consider it.
Uh-huh.
It's almost par for the course with politics in Southern California. So, you know, it's almost a mathematical equation that what takes a famous movie star governor off the front pages, but an even bigger sex story involving a top musician. So,
right.
You know, it's an equation of PR. But what I wanted to lay out was some different scenarios. There's what, with this 9-1-1 issue, you know, obviously Bush is very impeachable if we just give visibility to Bush in this 9-1-1 brainwashing that's going on here. And as I mentioned, the Deception Dollars, that website, DeceptionDollars.com, there are at least 21 websites that are tied to it. And so you can see that there are any number of just amazing different flaws to their big story.
Right.
And, for example, why the planes didn't take off. The jets should have scrambled, but for some reason the
It goes on and on and on. I know. Smokinggun.com. There have been all sorts of sites. I will check out this website you're talking about. I'm glad somebody has brought them all together. I've said before on this program, I think anybody with the sense God gave a gently stewed rhubarb stalk understands that the story that's out there for official consumption is not the full story. I take it one step further and say these people are complicit. The Bush crime family is complicit in this act of mass murder. And, you know, that sounds like, oh, there's Malloy putting his tinfoil hat on again. But I will stick with that until...
No, it makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. And frankly, the fact that so many Democrats seem to be going along with it, I'll give you my quick take on what I think happened. Shortly before 9-1-1 happened, .com was...
How long is this, David?
Well, I'll try to do it in 2 or 3 minutes. It shouldn't be too bad.
Okay, quick.
Shortly before 9-1-1 happened, .com was really falling apart bad.
Right.
And being out here in San Francisco, so close to Silicon Valley, we knew that a lot of these .comers had their stock... you know, they tried to take their money out and put it into other investments, and many of them put it into gold. Well, in the basement of the World Trade Center are two of the largest gold brokers in the world.
Uh-huh.
They actually hold resources of many nations. And many nations, in order to be involved in the International Monetary Fund, have to put a deposit of gold down there. Well, these gold brokers had actually multiple sold the same gold. And when the books were starting to show up bad because .com was collapsing, it was needed to deal with this issue of the multiple selling of gold because it was going to create an international financial collapse of many nations. And so this is why Bush needed to blame it on bin Laden and create a war scenario instead of creating a crime scenario. And so when you look at the passenger lists of the planes, there were what were called the Global Hawk technicians. And it's pretty my take on it is that there was a scenario to hijack some planes. It wasn't intended to kill anybody. But what the Global Hawk is a technology which has since been installed in all of these planes, which if a hijacking happens, that the planes can be controlled from the ground.
Right.
So what happens with someone within the CIA learned about this potential hijacking, they, on the sly, contacted Global Hawk and say, hey, you want to cash in on this? We'll let you install Global Hawk in a couple of planes. We'll get these hijackers on there, and then you can save the day and make a big fat buck selling Global Hawk. You'll be the great saviors of a hijacking attempt. So looking at the passenger list, there were 11 Global Hawk people on two of the planes. Now, if if this is true, then there was a double cross of the global cross or global hawk people, because what my take on it is that they put a beacon inside the World Trade Center that actually sucked the planes into the into there, and the global hawk people were ripped off because of this gold down there that they could not, and this is why the Democrats are so wishy-washy on it. They couldn't allow the foreign policy of the United States to be seen as, you know, the United States as an international monetary fund was supposed to be the safeguard of the gold of the world.
All right, then, now, David, I've got to move on. This is great stuff, and it's very entertaining, but I've got a whole stack of people
trouble.
Waiting.
It's just my take
you
on
need,
it, and this is why the Democrats are so wishy-washy
on it. You need to put this out. I'll tell you what you need to do with this. Put it in the form of a screenplay and get it to Showtime or HBO. I mean, what the hell? I mean, this is great stuff. Nobody has come up as I don't know, maybe there's stuff in the works right now. Instead of a Reagan documentary, instead of a Pappy Bush documentary, do this one and you should write it. David, thank you.
All right. Have a good night,
all right,
America.
Sir. All right. I appreciate your call. There, I'm sure as many of us as there are who understand the lies and deceptions around this issue, there are that many possible screenplays and stories to tell. It just, but I'll tell you something else. I doubt seriously if you and I are going to know it in our lifetimes. I've said it before. Maybe our children or our grandchildren will get to hear the truth. But that's iffy too, because look at what has happened in 40 years since the CIA had President John Kennedy blown into a million pieces.
So with the Fourth Amendment gone, eyes are on the first. That's why I'm spitting cyanide each and every verse. I see the Carlisle Group and Harris bank accounts. I see them plead the Fifth each and every session now. Cause America's been took, it's plain to see. The oldest trick in the book is making enemy. A phony evil so the government can do its dirt and take away your freedom, lock and load, beat and search. Oil, blood, money make these killers ride cold. Suspicious suicide, people dying never told. It's all a part of playing God, so you think we need them. While being ass-crossed, take away your rights to freedom. Bear witness to the sickness of these dictators. Hope you want...
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
I knew that the farther we got away from September the 11th, the more likely it would be that I would continue to have to convince people that we live in a dangerous world, and we do.
Yeah, thanks to you, you rat bastard. Now, see, if I were to say that in Iraq, the U.S. military and the provisional authority there, which are to the Iraqis what the Vichy French were to French people during the Nazi occupation, if I were to say that, yeah, little rat bastard there, they would shoot me. They would shoot me dead. The word went out in Iraq. This is freedom in Iraq. Word went out that any displays of anti-Americanism or anti-coalition forces now, starting when? Yesterday, will be met with gunfire. This is a democracy in Iraq. We got rid of the tyrant. The tyrant is dead. Long live the tyrant. Oh, my God. All right, now, Simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today. The 911 Commission, Thomas Keene's statements that have now been absolutely retracted. Reporters, one of your typical days, the reporters begin asking about 911 Commission Chairman Keene's comments about preventing 911. Yeah, oh, well, it's news now. Hey, you dumbasses, you little White House, crack White House reporters, or crack using White House reporters, why weren't you out digging up the story? Oh, never mind. So one of them steps forward. Scott, hey, Scott, the chairman of the 911 Commission, Governor Keene, was quoted as saying that 911 was preventable, that some officials in the government failed to prevent it, and that some of those people who failed are still in positions of authority, Scott. Any reaction to that?
First of all, I would remind you of something that the president has repeatedly said.
What?
The best way to prevent something like September 11th from ever happening again is to take the fight to the terrorists.
No, that's
and that
not...
is exactly the kind of decisive action that this president is taking
to
protect the American people.
That's not what I'm asking.
And as to the specific news report, I did see that as well. I saw the chairman's comments.
But
and I would just say that I don't think I quite walked away with the same impression that you did.
But that's not what I asked. So another reporter steps in and to follow up on Simple Scotty's comment that he doesn't walk away with the same impression that the previous reporter had about Keene's comments. So reporter number two,
Scott, I have talked to Governor Keene's office, and they're saying he was quoted accurately. But he did say, apparently there's no question about it, he did say it was preventable. He did say, when asked specifically, are there people who failed to prevent it who are still in authority, the answer was yes. And we'll find out who those people are. He did say it, Scott. They told me that today. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I haven't seen any further comment from him. But when I looked at his comments, I didn't quite take that same impression.
But
I would reiterate that the president strongly supports the work of the commission.
But
if there is something that we can learn
that
can help prevent a terrorist attack like September 11th from happening, we want to know about it. And that is why at the direction of the president,
we
are working very closely with the commission to help them complete their important work.
But Scott, you're blocking their efforts to obtain White House documents, you lying bastard! Oh, never mind. Next.
Now, how many times have we said this on the program, Truth Seekers, that Bush has made America less safe with his actions? And now, according to Governor Thomas Keene, we know he failed to protect us on September 11th. Why aren't his approval ratings plummeting?
Why? Because nobody knows about this, but by God, we can tell you about Michael Jackson.
Let me check your car. Say it was funny. I think we were on the same boat back in 1694.
Nobody can threaten this country. Oh, they may be able to bomb a building.
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hi, this is Ron Mitzinger, Director of Affiliate Relations at IE America Radio Network, hoping you and your family have a happy holiday.
The world is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services that aren't being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Wackernagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Okay, last one in this little set of Simple Scotty, talking about former New Jersey Republican Governor Thomas Keene's accusations that people still are operating in the highest levels of this filthy government that we are existing under here, who could have prevented and should have prevented the events of September 11, 2001. As we all know, or should know by now, of course, Thomas Keene got the word. He got a visit or a phone call, and he is retracting his statements now, but they're out there. They're a matter of record. One last reporter here continues on this 911 question and says, Scott, in the cooperation that the White House has shown with the commission, nod, nod, wink, wink, have any of your people found any similar evidence to match what Governor Keene has suggested? That there were problems that could have possibly been prevented, huh, Scotty? Has anybody on the White House staff? Oh, by the way, have you all found out about Valerie Plame yet? Who revealed? Okay. But on the 911 thing, have you folks found any similar evidence that Governor Keene has suggested?
No, as we have previously said, there's nothing that we have seen that leads us to believe that that September 11th could have been prevented. We previously said that.
Yeah.
That still stands.
That still stands. Okay, just checking, Scotty. Now, Scott, don't look at me that way. I'm not trying to piss you off. I know you look like a cream puff, but I also know that you have the full force and weight of the United States, thank you, Jesus, government behind you, and you could kill me in a second. I understand that. I'm not trying to be a smart ass here, Scott, just trying to earn my money. I work for one of America's leading news gathering organizations, and I just have to ask these questions. Now, if you couple what former Republican Governor Keene, chairman of the 911 commission, said yesterday and has now retracted, with what U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said on Monday, that the Bush crime family told him and other senators last year that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. Huh? Hello? Boston? New York? Eh? Baltimore? How about that? Ah? Eh? Eh? Norfolk? Charleston? Savannah? Jacksonville? Miami? Nelson said about 75 senators. Let me see, how many are there? Well, damn, there's only 100. Well, that would be more than half, wouldn't it? Nelson said about 75 senators got that news, that lie, during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote authorizing the use of force in Iraq. Nelson then voted in favor of the use of force. Nelson said the senators were told Iraq had both biological and chemical weapons, notably anthrax, and it could be delivered to cities along the eastern seaboard via unmanned aerial vehicles, commonly known as drones. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's go back to... Was it last night or the night before on ABC? Diane Sawyer. But let me try to ask, this could be a long question, Mr. President. When you take a look back, Vice President Cheney said there is no doubt Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. Not programs, not intent, weapons. There's no doubt he has weapons of mass destruction. Again, the intelligence, the inspectors have said they can't confirm this. They can't corroborate Bush yet. They can't corroborate an active yet. Again, Mr. President, I'm just trying to ask. These are supporters, people who believe in the war, who have asked the question, President Bush. Well, you can keep asking the question. My answer is going to be the same. Saddam was a danger, and the world's better off because we got rid of him. Diane Sawyer. But stated as a hard fact that there were weapons of mass destruction as opposed to the possibility that he could move to acquire those weapons still, President Bush. So what's the difference? Diane Sawyer. Well, Well, Mr. President, then, so you looked right into the cameras last January, and you lied to Congress, and you lied to the Senate, and you lied to America, and you lied to the world to ramrod your way into an oil-rich country, leaving almost 500 American soldiers and thousands of Iraqi citizens dead, and you're sitting in front of me saying, you don't see what difference that makes, you murderous son of a bitch! Well, no, she didn't say that last part. She didn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, that's from Hoffmania Blogspot. we're just kidding. We're just kidding. Diane Sawyer didn't say that. She could have, though couldn't she? So George Bush sits there and says, so what's the difference? Diane Sawyer says, well, but your vice president said there were weapons. And Senator Bill Nelson, they're poised to attack. And there's nothing. And maybe there was. So what's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? Weapons of mass destruction for this prick are a non-issue. What's the difference? How about 500 dead Americans? How about 10, 15, 20,000 dead Iraqis? How about the destruction of this society and Iraqi society, George? What's the difference? Now, Mike, calm down. 58% of America loves George Bush, Mike. You are so out of the mainstream. Did you know that, Mike? You ought to be like us Democratic senators, like Tom Daschle and some of us House members, like Dick Gephardt. We love George Bush. We don't, Mike. You're too far out there. That's why you're going to be unemployed in probably 6 weeks, and it's going to be very, very strange if anybody ever picks you up again, because you're just so far out of the mainstream. You shouldn't do this. You have a radio job, Mike. You have a responsibility to stop this nonsense now, calling our president a prick. What is that about, Mike? That's not, I wouldn't call that good broadcasting, would you? Mark is calling from Dallas, Texas. Say, Mark.
Have I told you how much I hate these people?
I think you just did.
Oh, man.
Oh, isn't it? It's almost like you want to gouge your eyes out. You hate them so bad.
Well, I think we ought to have a contest to see who can out-hate the Bushes.
Well.
Because I think I may have you beat. I mean, I don't have the mic as a platform, but my angst is every bit as great as yours, trust me.
Isn't it awful? Is it? I got an email from somebody tonight that said basically the same thing. You know, I feel the same way, Malloy. I don't have a microphone. And I'm glad to hear you talking what you're saying, Malloy, but I wish I had a microphone. I wish everybody in this country who hates these bastards had a microphone, Mark. I really do. Because the noise that would come, it would be like a thunderstorm coming from hell.
Well, what strikes me, I have a lot of things I can comment about what you've been saying, but what strikes me as odd is the Republicans make these comments about how angry the left is.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's
interesting. There's a very good article that came out today in The Nation by Paul Krugman, and he talks about an article that was published in Business Week that basically states that the Gilded Age is here in force, and that if you look at the income disparity trends, chances are that whatever socioeconomic class you were born in, you're going to stay in for the rest of your life. In other words, the myth of class movement is just that, a myth. I'd recommend people go to The Nation and check it out. It's
TheNation.com?
Yeah, The Nation. It's
okay.
The National Magazine. They have an online
right,
edition.
Right,
and
right.
It's Paul
yeah.
Krugman published
yeah.
today.
Yeah,
it's, the article's called The Myth of Horatio. No, The Death of Horatio Alger.
Okay. Yeah, I think I'm on their mailing list. I get a thing from Mike. I forget his last name at The Nation. Maybe it only goes out to media people. I don't know. But I get a thing that lists the stories that are coming up so that if we want to get we can read them online and talk about them on the air. And I guess I just missed this, or else it's brand new, and you're just letting me know about it now.
Well, when this whole issue of class warfare comes up, you know, I look at the Republicans and I say, you bet it's class warfare.
Mm-hmm.
Let the war begin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's make it happen. A comment on the black society.
Yeah.
During all the racism that we had, we still have this country. There's a very good film out that I recommend people go see called The Human Stain.
Yeah, I haven't. Yeah, I read the book.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah, yeah. When it's a Philip Roth book, right?
Yeah, it's got Anthony Hopkins Anthony Hopkins and Nicole Kidman in it.
Yeah, Nicole Kidman. Yeah, when the book came out, what, Kathy, 2 years ago, I guess, I'll read anything that Philip Roth mm-hmm. writes ever since, what was it? Not Goodbye, Columbus. Portnoy's Complaint. Portnoy's Complaint.
Right.
My producer is telling me titles in my headphone written by Thomas Wolfe. You know,
right.
I'm sitting here trying to come up with Portnoy's Complaint. But anyway, yeah, when Human Stain first came out and I started reading it, it was a little bit slow going. And then I realized, you know, here is the story of a so-called black man who passed as white and that whole story. It was a phenomenal story.
I thought that it's one of the few movies I've seen this year that I walked away with that I'd like to see again. It just
really.
I thought they did a wonderful job.
Well, that's a good recommendation. That's on my to see list for sure.
I'd catch it soon because it's already gone from Dallas. It was only here for about a month and a half. So
yeah.
It may not come to Atlanta because it'd probably be considered controversial for that area.
No. We have theaters. We really do here in Atlanta that show controversial films, Mark.
Okay.
No, maybe out in the suburbs. You know, Atlanta is a real mixed race city. We have collar counties around Atlanta that are to a large extent white. Some of the northern counties, Lord have mercy, they white. But we also have very affluent counties that are mixed, black, white, and Asian. So yeah, we get controversial movies here. We really do.
Well, just a couple back to Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
And kind of close the loop here.
Yeah.
I maintain that what's going on in this country right now is a whole bunch of subliminal messages being sent to people. You better stay in your place, folks, because if you're not, we're going to beat you back down.
Yeah, I think that is the message that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mark.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, appreciate your call. Now, in regards to Thomas Keene and his statements, I got an interesting email from Tom. Hi, Mike. Great show last night. The breaking news that Thomas Keene, chair of the 911 Commission, has stated that the terrorist attacks could have been prevented is a joke. This is, of course, old news and simply a variation on the theme that 911 was the result of an intelligence failure. Regarding your comment that Keene had better start watching his back, he has nothing to fear from his revelation because he's acting his part in a carefully scripted, limited hangout. A limited hangout is accepting responsibility for a lesser wrongdoing, even if the lesser evil is fabricated, in order to divert attention away from a more serious inquisition. In this case, a so-called intelligence failure is a diversionary tactic to mollify investigators and the public and steer us away from the real truth of September 11th, that in fact, it was an unprecedented intelligence success. The government was complicit in these attacks, and they could have been prevented had there not been a military stand down of our civil air defense system. The news is full of limited hangouts these days. Kenneth Lay and his Enron millions, while the big players stowed billions in offshore accounts. Halliburton's $61 million in gas overcharges when the company rakes in billions from no-bid contracts. Requiring a paper trail for computerized voting machines when, in fact, the paper trail would only be followed when results were sufficiently close as to warrant a recount. One need only rig the machines such that the results were never close enough to require a recount. The deeper truth behind limited hangouts is always much, much darker than we are ever led to believe. I agree with your assessment on other shows that widespread acceptance of the reality of September 11th would likely lead to a social crisis in this country that would make the Vietnam War protests seem like a stroll in a candy shop. Best regards, Tom. Yeah, stroll in a candy shop is right. We would have, I'm thinking, if the truth comes out, and I think these killers understand this, then there's going to be a necessity to declare martial law, because maybe 58% of the American sheeple do support George W. Bush, but that leaves 42% that either don't or a little bit iffy. And if ever proof, and it won't be presented, but if proof were presented of the truth that you and I pretty much suspect, we know it by instinct, of the complicity of these people in this attack on this country and the subsequent events, yeah, there would be millions in the streets. And there would be an absolute need to declare martial law. And the majority of Americans would demand that martial law be declared. Because it wouldn't be the majority in the streets. It would be a minority. And, I mean, what the hell? All those people out there protesting, all those people saying, get out of town, George W. Bush, that interferes with the business of America, which is business and stuff and things. And it wouldn't be tolerated. So the idea here, the objective here, is to keep the lid tightly closed and occasionally release a valve. And as Tom points out, let a little of the limited hangout, or as Ehrlichman, or was it Haldeman said, or was it Nixon, a modified limited hangout occur.
Which is why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength mild anti-liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
my name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiotis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my chart?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than 3 people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Jody in Arlington Heights, she said, first, yesterday's show was the first time I was seriously concerned for your health. I hope you've recovered. You know, I'm fine. I get crazy. My blood pressure skyrockets. I understand that. I have a pretty good doctor who recently put me on blood pressure medicine, and it seems to be working. There have been times when I've done talk radio when I thought I was going to burst an artery, but that would make for good radio, wouldn't it?
Hey, did you hear my Molloy program the other night? Some bitch died right on the air. There was this popping sound. Woo, man, cool. I bet Rush couldn't do that.
Sorry, didn't mean to frighten you. You're a bit late for that.
Hey, when you do.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Molloy.
Coming up after the news break here in a couple of minutes, we're also going to talk a little bit about the ruling today by the U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals, where it concerns Jose Padilla. Just got an email from Christine, my downtown New York City bureau chief. For those of you who don't live in New York City, during Christmas, if you don't live there, have you ever been there? Oh, God, the city's gorgeous during Christmas. But anyway, Christine, our downtown New York City Bureau Chief, writes in, you know, it never stops. It just never stops coming. Read on as Bloomberg, the mayor there, faithfully follows Rove's orders. The story is from the Associated Press. Here's what it says. This year's special guest for the Times Square countdown to 2004 will be a young woman who was a prisoner of war in Iraq as a U.S. soldier, Mayor Michael Bloomberg announced Thursday. Shoshana Johnson, who was shot in the ankles and was held captive for 22 days, was in a war, quote, that was started right across the street from where we are today on 911, end quote, Bloomberg told a news conference at a Manhattan hotel facing the World Trade Center site. Started right across the street, yeah, on that site where Saddam Hussein sent the bombers, Iraqis, who came to this country and killed 3,000 people on our soil. And Shoshana Johnson and 129,999 other U.S. soldiers are in Iraq tonight because Saddam Hussein sent bombers to the United States who slammed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon and a field in Pennsylvania and killed 3,000 people on our soil. Right, citizen? Winston Smith lives, doesn't he? So Christine writes, this report went out across the AP wire a couple hours ago and is now hitting hundreds of local newspapers across the country. The lie continues. God, I hate these people. And Michael Bloomberg, who used to be a Democrat. Okay, so he's filthy rich. He used to be a Democrat. A war that was started right across the street from where we are today on 911. Mike, I just realized what they're doing. The networks keep running a small photo of Hussein. He has a long white streaked beard. It looks like they have superimposed Bin Laden's beard on Saddam's picture. They want this line blurred. It's not even close to the shot of the bearded Saddam taken last weekend. David writes in, yeah, David, that's extremely necessary to get us to the next phase of the war on terror.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
No, we have no evidence that Saddam Hussein was involved with the September the 11th.
Doug, listening to you sing Back on the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. George W. Bush does not have the power to detain American citizen Jose Padilla, the former gang member seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant, a federal appeals court ruled Thursday. The decision, which ordered that Padilla be released from military custody within 30 days, could force the government to try the dirty bomb plot suspect in civilian courts. The White House said the government would seek a stay, saying the ruling was inconsistent with the president's constitutional authority as well as with other court rulings. For the first time, the chairman of the independent commission investigating the September 11th attacks is saying publicly that 9/11 could have and should have been prevented, reports CBS News. This is a very, very important part of history, and we've got to tell it right, said Thomas Kane. As you read the report, you're going to have a pretty clear idea what wasn't done and what should have been done, he said. This was not something that had to happen. Kane promises major revelations in public testimony beginning next month from top officials in the FBI, CIA, Defense Department, National Security Agency, and maybe President Bush and former President Clinton. U.S. Senator Bill Nelson said Monday the Bush administration last year told him and other senators that Iraq not only had weapons of mass destruction, but they had the means to deliver them to East Coast cities. The website truthout.org reports that Nelson, a Florida Democrat, said about 75 senators got that news during a classified briefing before last October's congressional vote authorizing the use of force to remove Saddam Hussein from power. The State Department issued a warning Wednesday recommending that non-essential American diplomats and the families of all U.S. officials in Saudi Arabia leave the country. The department also recommended that private U.S. citizens consider leaving as well. Americans making plans to go to Saudi Arabia were advised to defer any such travel in light of the potential for further terrorist activities. Security was tight Thursday in the Saudi capital of Riyadh, with a heavy police presence throughout much of the city. More IE America Network news after this.
Hello, I'm Rita Moreno. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging or to find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Modern-day aviators failed on Wednesday to duplicate the pioneering flight of the Wright brothers as a replica of their primitive 1903 flying machine flopped in the mud at the site of the original flight. An exact copy of the Wright Flyer trundled down a wooden rail, but failed to generate the speed and lift necessary to fly. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Can I help you, sir?
I'm panicked. I'm dating. What should I get for the stocking stuffer? Is an oven mitt too personal?
Okay, listen. Get a gift that every woman loves. A Venus razor.
Every woman?
With just one stroke, I get silky smooth skin, which makes me feel like a goddess.
Oh, I love a silky smooth goddess.
Then a Venus razor will solve your gift-giving problem.
Ah, make it 9 Venus razors.
9?
I'm dating a lot.
Looking for the perfect stocking stuffer for all the women on your list? The Venus razor from Gillette. Reveal the goddess in you.
Old loopholes never die. They just get loopier and loopier. One such is a special tax break gouged into federal law back in 1980 by corporate lobbyists. In response to the energy crisis of the time, this loophole was ostensibly created to give companies an incentive to devise marketable alternatives to imported oil. But all it really has done is give companies an excuse to dodge paying the taxes they owe to Uncle Sam. The loophole is the Synfuels tax credit for companies that reprocess coal to create new synthetic fuels. But the law's provisions are so vague that corporations have been able to claim the tax break, even if their reprocessing doesn't work, doesn't reduce our dependence on oil, actually uses oil products in the so-called reprocessing, is never marketed, or is just plain silly. How silly? So silly that the IRS has given the Synfuels tax credit to companies that have done nothing but spray starch or diesel fuel or even Elmer's glue on coal. Corporations, ranging from utilities to the Marriott hotel chain, have leapt through this loophole like wolves leaping for a lamb chop. The result is that they have dodged about $2 billion a year in taxes they owe, a wad that the rest of us ordinary taxpayers have to make up, either in increased taxes or reduced services. This scam will soon grow to $10 billion a year, for more corporations have spied the lamb chop and are going for it. Finally, the IRS decided to crack down by reviewing whether the company's so-called Synfuels actually worked. Yet, even this long overdue step was assailed by Synfuel profiteers, their lobbyists, and their puppets in Congress. They went after the IRS, threatening the agency's enforcement budget and hauling the IRS commissioner to the woodshed. Unsurprisingly, the IRS recently succumbed to the corporate pressure. This is Jim Hightower saying, so the loopiness keeps getting loopier, and the rich keep getting richer.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. Seven past the hour. We have some open lines here. If you've been trying to get through earlier in the program, got busy signals, come on down. This just a couple hours ago crossed the Reuters wire that George Bush, in his interview, that interview on ABC with Diane Sawyer, Bush got clobbered by Paris Hilton. I know, who's Paris Hilton? Yeah, like you, I thought it was a hotel. You know, the Paris Hilton. What the hell? You know, she. I'm not even going to get into that, but just enough to say she's in this thing called The Simple Life with whose daughter is it? Kathy, you know this stuff. Who's the Lionel Richie's daughter? Nicole Richie. The Simple Life, and The Simple Life, which is on, of course, on Fox. Isn't it on Fox? Yeah, I'm sure it is. The Simple Life drew 11.8 million viewers, and Bush's primetime interview with Diane Sawyer drew 11 million. That was the interview that Bush said Saddam should be executed. What about Henry Kissinger? What about you, George? Should you be executed? Hilton won more viewers with her performance baking pies and working the town fair's kissing booth in a miniskirt. So 11.8 million people, call it 12. 12 million people watch that and 11 million people watch Bush. And that's why this country is in the shape it's in. Who watches that? Who watches that? Because I have read about it. I mean, I obviously have read about it in, no calls on it. Please, please, nobody call in about it. No calls. I read about it in People magazine, but oh, my God. Before we move on to this Jose Padilla story, Dean is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Dean.
Mike, how's it going?
Hey, it's going good, pal. How are you?
I'm doing well. I wish I could listen to you a little bit more, but I got kids. You got to put them to sleep and all that kind of stuff.
I hear that, yeah.
Anyway, I don't know if you've ever run across this man, Michael Hoffman. I guess kind of a revisionist historian of sorts out in Idaho, and he has something tangential or to that revelation or the what you're talking about, the limited hangout. His version is the revelation of the method, and he takes kind of an occult kind of look at the goings on and looks at these events in kind of a psychological, like a psychops kind of way that things are, you know, manifest in this way, and he basically said something that, with Dean questioning about 9/11 the other day and given a sanction of approval, that Dean is basically playing a role as well, and that they're bringing up the 9/11 and that slowly and piecemeal, just like JFK, different bits will come out, but it'll be so convoluted, it'll be very difficult to form a real picture. But even then, even if things are, because those that do these things do reveal them in a certain way, it's a kind of conditioning, that's mm-hmm. his take. And that at some point, even if it does become clear, as it should to any thinking person, that there was complicity here on a part of this administration, people will be, it'll be like the Stockholm Syndrome or whatever they call it, where you identify with your captives. People will just almost like, they'll think, oh, it must have been for our own good. They will not rise up. That's what bothers me. That's what worries me, I guess, in the long run, about this whole thing. I mean, this is like the biggest thing that ever happened outside of, say, JFK and maybe the burning of D.C., but people seem so complacent when there's so many questions and so many things that just are out of whack here. And
I know. We have lost something in this society, in this country, critical to survival, and that is curiosity, questions, demanding answers. I think any time a species loses that, or a society loses it, or a city-state loses it, or a country loses it, their end is very easily predictable. Once there is no longer any desire to pay attention to anything other than Michael Jackson or Paris Hilton or this other bat crap, while the very foundations of this country are being shaken and destroyed by the most criminal administration in this country's history, and the American people, us common Joes and Janes, are not demanding answers. We are in trouble. I hate to get into this negative crap that I get into a lot on this program, but we are in trouble. There's no question. There's no question. But I hear what you're saying, and I certainly agree with it. Thanks for checking in, Dean.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. In regards to that, I got an email from Ryan, who is writes from Idaho. When Dean said this person lives in Idaho, I wanted to share this. And he says, "Hi, Mike. The other day when I wrote, because I quoted something that Ryan wrote on the air. The other day when I wrote, I was filled with a sense of resignation that bled into my comments to you that, yes, things look dismal for the Democrats and progressivism in general right now, but that's no excuse to give in to despair. I know I've heard you on the air filled with the same sense of resignation. I don't know you personally, so I cannot accurately gauge how you feel, but I'm a fairly good judge of emotions," Ryan writes. "In these times of trial, for that's what they are, we, progressives, liberals, Democrats, Greens, and anyone else who burns with the inner fire of justice and equality, we cannot succumb to this gravity. We cannot let the Republicans tear our dreams from us by calling our goals irrelevant, unattainable, or unnecessary. How can any man, woman, or child living in the United States, a land associated, rightly or wrongly, with freedom and equality, not aspire to reclaim our birthright from these despicable corporate lackeys and religious ideologues? I urge you, before and after your program goes on temporary hiatus, to repeat your call for all of us to unite, not to give in, and to believe a victory in 2004 is possible. Yes, the cards are stacked against us right now. Yes, the majority of Americans are asleep. Yes, Karl Rove has turned the Republican political machine into a liberal-eating monstrosity, but I believe we have it in us to turn the tide. I don't know about you or your other listeners, Mike, but I'm tired of playing nice. I'm tired of taking it from the Republicans. I'm sick of trying to play by rules that are no longer relevant. And most of all, I'm tired of using logic against an opponent who couldn't argue him or herself out of a thimble. It's time to play hardball. I will not give in. I will not go back to sleep." Ryan. Yeah. Well, that's like a call to arms. And I appreciate you writing, Ryan. I go from highs to lows, I think about Mark in Dallas who wrote and said, you know, I hate him more than you do, and I've got to understand that. I know there are those of you out there who feel that. I feel it. Sometimes the rage I feel, it's not so much hate, I don't think, as it is rage that this is being done, and how it's being done, that the lies are being put out there as truth. That death and destruction and deconstruction and all of it is occurring right in front of us, for Christ's sake, right in front of us. And it's difficult. Yeah. It's difficult to keep a good attitude. It's difficult to continue the struggle. But this is where what I said earlier tonight and months ago, if not over a year ago, if you're white and you're having you're having problems keeping your spirit up, get yourself a black friend, because that friend will tell you how to cope. Black folk listening now saying, "What the hell is he talking about? Man, I can't cope either. My blood pressure is..." I understand. No, I hear you, Ryan. I hear it. And yeah, I agree. Jose Padilla. U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals said that the President of the United States does not have the power to detain an American citizen seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant. Now, this is being reported as it'll be in tomorrow's papers, a serious setback to the Bush administration's so-called war on terror, which is a war on the American people, a war on people in general. 2-1 ruling, the U.S. Second Circuit Court said only the U.S. Congress can authorize such detentions. And it went on to order this filthy administration to release Jose Padilla from military custody within 30 days. Now, the court didn't say turn him loose on the street. The court said transfer Padilla to a civilian authority that can bring criminal charges against him if they are warranted. Go ahead. Bring him on. The court said, quote, presidential authority does not exist in a vacuum, and this case involves not whether those responsibilities should be aggressively pursued, but whether the president is obligated, in the circumstances presented here, to share them with Congress. Whereas here, the president's power as commander-in-chief of the armed forces and the domestic rule of law intersect, we conclude that clear congressional authorization is required for detentions of Americans on American soil. All together now, 3, 2, 1. Duh! In Washington, a Justice Department spokesman, Mark Corallo, Justice Department run by the religious fanatic and psychopath. What's his name? John Ashcroft. Mark Corallo said,
we're reviewing the opinion. we're reviewing it.
He declined further comment. Now, you remember the Padilla story? He's a suspect in an al-Qaeda plot to detonate a radioactive dirty bomb in the United States. He was arrested at Chicago's O'Hare Airport 18 months ago. He was transported to Manhattan federal court system, where he was held as a material witness in a federal grand jury terrorism investigation. And then, too stupid to be anything other than a dog catcher. I'm sorry if you're a dog catcher. I don't mean to offend you. George Bush had him classified as an enemy combatant, and he was transferred to a Navy brig in South Carolina, where he has sat and rotted, an American citizen, for God's sake! If he did something, bring him out and try him! Federal prosecutors have said that Padilla should not have access to attorneys. Not! Because they said he posed a threat to national security. Federal prosecutors said his lawyers would interfere with his interrogation. Federal prosecutors said defense lawyers could be used to pass messages to al-Qaeda operatives. This is happening in America tonight. This has been happening in America for 18 months. It's been happening since this thuggish crime family took over this country. Well, Simple Scotty had some things to say about the Padilla case. I'll share them with you in a moment.
I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
The Tom Hartman Show.
The computerized voting machines in the last election, our question is the theft of your vote. On our chat room here, Brainshrub points out that H is the eighth letter of the alphabet, A is the first letter of the alphabet. So if you take that 18181, the exact number of votes that three different candidates in one county in Texas got on these computerized voting machines, and you simply convert it to letters, it becomes... Is it a conspiracy or a coincidence?
Okay, first of all, I wanted to say congratulations. We were elected to the White House by one of the narrowest margins in history. 63% of registered voters.
Wait a second. You wanted me to poll registered voters?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Illegal non-combatants picked up off of a battlefield, and they are being treated in humane fashion.
And I'm high on drugs. All right, Jose Padilla, U.S. Second Circuit Court of Appeals, 2-1 ruling, said today only the U.S. Congress can authorize American citizens being picked up on American soil, being declared as enemy combatants and held in a brig someplace for going on 2 years with no legal representation, no nothing while they interrogate him. They have ordered Jose Padilla released within 30 days. The Bush crime family says they'll probably appeal this. When they lock somebody up, they like him to stay there forever, just forever. Oh, these bastards. Oh, these filthy Constitution, Bill of Rights, murdering bastards. Every one of them, every single one of them. Not one of these people in the Bush cabinet at one of these phony-ass photo-op meetings in the morning where they all gather around the big table and too stupid to be president sits there wondering where his oatmeal is and where's his glass of milk and can I take my jammies off now? And they sit there, and not one of them has the courage or the decency or the honor to say, hey, look, we have to either charge this guy or let him go free. But until we do either one, we've got to provide him with an attorney. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Fourth Amendment for Jose Padilla does not exist. Sixth Amendment does not exist. Eighth Amendment does not exist. It just goes on and on. I hate these people. Oh, my God, I hate them. Simple Scotty McClellan at the briefing today. A reporter wants to know about this appeals court decision. The reporter says, Scott, an appeals court has said the president does not, any president, I didn't mean just Bush, oh God, don't kill me, any president does not have the power to detain American citizens seized on U.S. soil as an enemy combatant. That's what the court said, Scott. What do you say?
What
I would say is that the president's most solemn obligation is protecting the American people.
Oh, okay.
We believe the Second Circuit ruling is troubling and flawed. The president has directed the Justice Department to seek a stay and further judicial review. This is a case in which an individual was involved with terrorist organization activity and was actively engaged in an effort to do harm to the American people.
Oh, really? Is that what happened, Scott? I see. So let's just kill him then. Let's execute him. Release him. Oh, no. No releasing. Scott, you just said a case, an individual who was involved with terrorist organization activity and engaged in effort to harm the American people. Kill him! Kill him! But before you kill him, torture him. Torture him. Attach electrodes to his genitals. Pour molten glass into his ears. Torture him, Scotty! And Padilla, what kind of a name is Padilla? What's this Jose? What is this guy, Cuban? Still on the appeals court decision, another reporter wants to know, well, Scott, why couldn't that be adjudicated in some way by going through the, you know, the regular court system? Not that I mean anything. I'm not trying to challenge you or our beloved president whose ass I love kissing. Oh, it's such a round ass, and I love kissing. I would never challenge our president, Scott, but can't we do this through the regular court system?
First of all, let's remember what we're talking about. We're talking about an individual who is involved in seeking to do harm to the American people.
Oh.
The president has repeatedly said that his most solemn obligation and responsibility is to protect the American people.
Oh.
And the Second Circuit's ruling is really inconsistent with the clear constitutional authority of the president and his responsibility that I just mentioned.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. We don't know why.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The world is running up an ecological debt that might be impossible to repay. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists estimate that humans are using 20% more of the world's resources than it can regenerate. Mathis Wackernagel heads a group called the Ecological Footprint Network in Oakland, California. He compares our standing with nature to a financial debt.
We can use more ecological goods and services than are being regenerated in a similar way as we can use more money than we earn, which is going to debt. In the same way, nature has some endowment that we can draw down or we can maintain. Now it seems that we're using it faster than it's being regenerated. So we can do that for some time, like we can go into debt for some time financially, but it's not a long-term strategy that is viable.
Wackernagel says it's important to think of natural resources the same way you think about money.
We see the consequences of running an economic deficit for a nation. We know what the consequences will be in the future. The same thing applies to ecological resources, too. By withdrawing them, leaving in debt for future generations, somebody will have to pay for it.
Wackernagel says the purpose of measuring our natural debits and credits is to maintain a quality of life that can be sustained over the long run.
The goal is to make sure all people can live well, recognizing there's a limited budget, like with our financial budget. It would be easier to have two planets, perhaps, but we only have one, so we have to find out how can we live best within the budget that is available to us.
Bakker-Nagel says we're overdrawing that budget, and we need to get back in balance with nature's accounts. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey.
This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too
cute? I like Santa Claus.
Hi, this is Suzanne Gowardy.
I'm El Bracciotti, the famous mariachi.
Whatever.
This is Renee Scarponi.
Hey, baby.
This is Kim Kasnick.
Yeah, baby.
This is John Lucas.
Hey. This is Stephanie Stryker.
Yeah, bud.
This is Steve Damshutter.
This is Shaw Jones.
This is Bill Vellner.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ron Metzinger.
From our family to yours, have
a happy holiday and a great new year.
Isn't that just too cute?
I like Santa Claus.
Conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
You know, this last comment that we just played for you by Simple Scotty McClellan, referring to Padilla as an individual who was involved in seeking to do harm to the American people. Again, I mean, it's just insane, isn't it? And then to say, as Simple Scotty said, that Bush's most solemn obligation and responsibility is to protect the American people. No, it isn't. And the dumb bastard, every time he says that, I don't know. I want to smash something. So rather than smash something, I'll just quote what Reverend Debut just sent in. The president's most solemn obligation or responsibility is to protect the American people? No. That's why we have the military and the Joint Chiefs. The president's most solemn obligation is to protect and defend the Constitution! And this president, clearly, is raping the Constitution. Yeah. Yeah, when the little rat bastard stood up there and took the oath... Where is the line that says, and I do solemnly swear to protect and defend the American people? These people are sick, they're incompetent, they're killers, they are scum, they're dirt on the bottoms of our shoes. Those of us who still have a brain, the 58% who support him, you people are out of your freaking minds. You are crazy. You are supporting cannibals. And they are going to eat you. They are eating you now. They continue to take huge, gaping bites of your flesh and continue to drink huge draughts of your blood. And you continue to support them. Oh, Jesus. Now, if the Padilla case isn't bad enough, I'm just going to touch on this and then we're going to come to your phone calls. What about Captain Yee? Do you remember him? James Yee, Y-E-E, the Army chaplain at Guantanamo Bay. Remember the story a couple of weeks ago? Busted. Espionage. Oh, he's getting the death penalty. He's a dead man walking. He's out of here. We caught him. Some bitch is Chinese or something, Singaporean, and converted to Islam. Think about that for a minute. Huh? And he's a chaplain. Oh, chaplain, my ass. He's practicing one of those bastard religions. You know, Islam. Our God's bigger than his God. His God is nothing but a demon. Remember the case? How could you forget? It was a joke a couple of months ago, right? Guess what? He's been released. Remember when the whore media in this country told us about him just like they told about Dr. Wenho Lee? Remember? Now, it was Captain James Yee. He's been released. He's been charged with adultery and downloading pornography. That's what they've charged him with. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? Can you believe this?
Captain James Yee, the Army chaplain at Guantanamo Bay, was freed after spending almost 3 months in military prison on espionage charges, but his release is bittersweet to his family and supporters. Yee is now charged with downloading pornography and adultery, charges many say are outrageous and false. Joyous relatives and friends of Captain James Yusef Yee, the former Army chaplain at Guantanamo Bay, who was accused of espionage, welcomed his release after nearly 3 months in military prison. But they lashed out at authorities for bringing new charges of adultery and downloading pornography on a government-issued computer. Deeply suspicious, Yee's supporters describe the new charges as an attempt by the government to discredit the captain and cover up its failure to produce a credible case against him. Yee was accused last October of disobeying orders and stealing classified information on behalf of suspected members of Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. Shahid Nuruddin, Yee's friend and neighbor in Olympia, Washington, is incensed by the accusations of adultery. He's a disciplined man devoted to his family, says Nuruddin. He's made great sacrifices to become a chaplain. Why would he put all that at risk? Nuruddin broke the news of Yee's release to Yee's wife, Huda Subo, a Syrian immigrant. Subo, he says, was elated that her husband was freed, but was also filled with rage when she heard the additional charges against him. She reportedly burst into tears and stared at their four-year-old daughter, wondering how the news would affect her life. Subo, who refused to talk to the press, gave a statement through her neighbor, quote, "It is clear the government is trying only to destroy my husband's character and his family. They will not succeed," end quote. Captain James Yee, West Point graduate, Army chaplain. Why did the Army single out James Yee? Why did the military go to such lengths to leak the information and pursue aggressive actions? Why? Why? It's because of his religion? Because of his race? He's one of them messed up niggers! He's like, Tiger Woods! Got that Asian blood in him, got that black blood in him, got that white blood in him! Well, he had pornography! Some say it was because Captain Yee was going to speak out against the conditions at the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. Eh? Eh? Yee is resuming chaplain duties at Fort Benning, Georgia. Yee's lawyer, Eugene Fidel, says his client has already served time in jail, at times in solitary confinement, in chains and manacles. In light of this, the lawyer hopes, that the government will not pursue the case further. Pornography. The lawyer says it is clear that someone is rummaging around for some way to destroy an individual to save face. Oh, God, I hate these people. God, I hate them. Dominic in Charlottesville, Virginia, sent that story in. Thank you, Dominic. I didn't happen to see that on the news, Dominic. I guess I missed it. I didn't see. I remember the story when it occurred. Captain James Yee. Huh? What's up with that? Yee? And he's a Muslim? What? Married to a Syrian? Oh! Espionage! Shoot the bastard! Yeah! I remember that kind of reportage on the news networks. I remember that. But I must have missed, Dominic, the part of the story where he was released and the charges were dropped and they've decided to charge him with pornography. Charge him with... pornography.
So Dominic in Charlottesville, Virginia, thank you so much for sending in the story, because had you not, I would have missed it. But I can tell you more about Michael Jackson than you could possibly want to know. I can tell you more about Scott Peterson than Scott Peterson is aware of. I just didn't happen to know about Captain James Yee. My bad. Detroit Slim is checking in, and obviously he's calling from Detroit.
Hey, what's up?
You are for about 2 minutes here.
Okay.
Let her rip, Detroit Slim.
Well, I'm calling from Chesapeake Bay, man.
You moved.
No, that's where I live now. But anyway,
wait a minute. Then you have to change your name to Chesapeake Bay Slim.
Well, I could do that.
Yeah, you could.
That could be like Crab Slim or...
There you go.
Crustacean Slim or something like that.
If you're Chesapeake Bay Slim, it'll be CBS, and I know right who you are. Hey, man, CBS is on the phone. What's up, Slim?
Hey, powerful show.
Thank
Great
you.
Great stuff. I was... telling Kathy that I wanted to recount 911 experience, but, you know, as I was sitting here watching Discovery Channel, there was that thing about that Japanese ship that got trashed by a submarine.
Oh, yeah, and the students drowned. 12 people died, or 11 people. That was the Enron gang that was riding the submarine.
Yeah. I don't remember the name of the ship, but they were going through all the details of raising the ship.
Yeah.
I'm into, like, boats and stuff, being from Detroit, right, okay?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay. But anyway, you know, it strikes me that I'm starting to feel like I'm living in a Philip K. Dick novel.
Oh, we are. We all are. There's no question.
I mean, no, I'm serious.
No, I know.
It's like a bunch of images that go by that are horrific, that are just that these images that go by, they're just totally horrific. You can't do anything about them. Maybe you can, maybe you can't. I think mostly you can't. And it's just unbelievable. Like today with this Keen thing, I can't believe it. I can't believe a story like this in any other time would have been totally saturated the media. But now it's just...
The story's not even there.
It's sixth page.
CBS.
Sixth page.
Yeah, Randall Pinkston reported it on CBS the other night. New York Times picked it up. And now, tonight, as a matter of fact, if you live in the Eastern time zone, if you all will switch to ABC, he's probably on Nightline right now denying everything, denying his own words.
But I haven't seen that he's actually denying it?
Well, yeah, he came out and said no.
No what?
Well, turn on your television.
No, I didn't say that?
No, he said he didn't say any of this. Turn it on. Turn on your television. Go to ABC, whatever your ABC affiliate there, and watch Nightline if it's on now. Ted Koppel is interviewing him tonight, so I've been told. We only get the cable networks in here. Because of you know, in case we do go to World War III, I want to be able to switch to CNN.
Oh, we're in World War III.
Well, I mean actively, but I mean with bombs falling.
Oh, they're falling. All right.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I don't know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean either.
I know. With bombs falling on Atlanta.
It hit me today that we're in World War III.
Yeah, we probably are.
We are in it.
Check out, seriously, Slim. Check it out now, and we'll talk about this tomorrow. Okay.
All right,
Slim, thanks for checking in. I appreciate your call. Yeah, if you live in the Eastern time zone, I was told that on Nightline tonight, this guy's going to come on and, you know, Thomas Keene and deny everything. He's been warned. The Bush crime family got a hold of him in the past 24 hours and said, you little son of a bitch, we make you the head of this commission specifically so you can keep it all covered up and hidden, and you come out with a statement like that, we will kill you. We will rip your heart out. We will pour hot lead down your throat. We will absolutely destroy you, and then we will eat whatever's left over. Shut up, get on Nightline, deny it all, or you're dead. Or something like that. Paul is calling from Seattle. Hey, Paul, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, great show.
Oh, thank you, Paul.
And you just, I can't listen live. I have to listen on the internet, an archived edition, so I'm calling in without having heard any of your show tonight. And
You can't listen on the internet?
Not at home. I don't have a fast enough hookup. But, yeah, you just shocked the heck out of me with Keane saying he's denying everything now.
It's crazy. It's insane. And as far as I'm concerned, he was gotten to. He was told. He was warned.
Yep. No doubt about it.
You live on the West Coast. I would check out Nightline tonight. It's on now here on the East Coast, but check it out, tonight, and see what he's got to say. We are not able to see it, but this is what I've been told he would be doing, is denying it all on Nightline tonight.
Oh, my goodness. See, before I heard that, I was thinking this might be the finger bone that the cannibals choke on.
Well,
maybe not.
Well, I looked like one of my correspondents in Florida, Mike in Florida. I went to the cable channels today because we reported on the story last night that CBS's Randall Pinkston had reported this on the CBS, I guess CBS Evening News last night, with quotes from the sky and everything. So I bust a hump to get wake up this morning and turn on CNN, MSNBC, even Fox. Somebody, let's see what's going on, and it's all Michael Jackson, wall to wall. Michael Jackson. In the meantime, the head of the 911 commission had said last night that there are people still in power who knew about this and could have stopped it and didn't.
Exactly.
And you would think, wouldn't you think that would somehow supersede another report on Michael Jackson? Wouldn't you?
You would, but they want to distract you.
Yeah, we live in America, and in America, entertainment news takes precedence over everything, especially if it's entertainment news about sex in any form, hetero, homo, a child, animal, a piece of cheese, raw liver, whatever, as long as it's sex, by God, it will supersede everything else on the network.
Well, yeah.
We live in hell. We should not have taken the red pill. That's the problem.
We're all turning into Borgs.
For sure. Is this your first time calling, Paul?
First time, man.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. You must listen on, you download the program from WhiteRoseSociety.org?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, if pay attention to that site, and the next time Ben asks for a couple of bucks, shoot him $5 or $10, will you?
I definitely will.
All right, Paul, thanks for checking. I hope to hear from you again.
All right, thanks, Mike.
All right, sir, take care. And if there are any rich liberals out there tonight, please, radiopower.org. Shelby got, I think she said she got about 80% of what she needs to keep her network going. If you got 10 bucks, if you got 1,000, oh my God, if you had 1,000, you're a rich liberal, send it to her. But if you're not a rich liberal, if you got 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks, just go to radiopower.org. She's all set up. You can use PayPal, whatever.
You can't believe everything you see. So baby, close your eyes to the lullabies on the news tonight.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a.
Need more tissues.
Sleep like a.
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace stool softener capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative, Colace capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply Cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing Simply Cough.
Simply Cough. Use as directed.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly. And if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine, thanks for asking.
A little self-centered?
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided?
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best of progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no. Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. We're just about out of time. I've got one more here. I don't think we're going to be able to get any more phone calls tonight. I do apologize. There was another ruling, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. This is regarding the what these bastards have done in Cuba, the bastards being the Bush government. And this is in tomorrow, which is today, Friday, on ABC, only the A is Australia, Australian Broadcasting Corporation. Who sent me this? Oh, God. I don't know who, I'm sorry. But it says very quickly, in a stinging rebuke of the Bush government, a United States Appeals Court has ruled the U.S. cannot imprison so-called enemy combatants captured in Afghanistan indefinitely and deny them access to lawyers. Strongly worded 2-1 decision, Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. said the indefinite imprisonment at the U.S. naval base in Cuba was inconsistent with U.S. law and raised serious concerns under international law. For the second time tonight, you ready? 3, 2, 1. Duh! One judge who wrote in the decision said the government's position is inconsistent with fundamental tenets of American jurisprudence and raises most serious concerns under international law. We simply cannot accept the government's position that the executive branch possesses the unchecked authority to imprison indefinitely any persons, foreign citizens included, on territory under the sole jurisdiction and control of the United States without permitting such customers or prisoners recourse of any kind to any judicial forum or even access to counsel. We'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow night, but you know, another ruling today, did both these rulings come today? If they both came today, two rulings pointing out the obvious, that these sick bastards in the Bush administration have no more right to do what they're doing than I do or you do. They have to be put out of office. God. Okay, deep breath. Program engineered tonight in Detroit by Steve Damschroeder, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. Mark Marshall is our webmaster. Go to MikeMalloy.com. Sign in. Have fun. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Chris in Minnesota is our senior correspondent. And a whole list of you folks who contribute mightily to this program. Thank you. Don't miss our holiday show next Tuesday, by the way. Winter solstice and the reading from Luke. Going to have a gift giveaway for a lucky listener. Plus holiday fun, and Kathy tells me a year in review, maybe a surprise guest, maybe not, and we'll have a very special announcement at the end of the show, near the end of the show. No, it has nothing to do. That'll come later about this network closing. But we have a very special announcement for you. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. That's next Tuesday. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care. No.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation.